The headlines, the U.S. House Speaker visits Ukraine in the latest show of support for the fight against Russia as Moscow hits weapons supplied by Western nations near Odessa. The Israeli military steps up its crackdown in the occupied West Bank following the death of a guard outside Ariel's settlement on Friday. And rallies are held across the world to mark May Day. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumisha Ahmadi, and these are top stories this hour. Fighting continues unabated across Ukraine as the war with Russia is in its 67th day. The attacks are most fierce in the disputed eastern regions, but they have also reached as far as the western city of Odessa, where local officials say a Russian missile strike from Crimea has destroyed the airport runway. No one was harmed. Moscow says it has struck weapons shipments supplied to Ukraine by the U.S. and European countries. In the meantime, the southern Kherson region, Russia says Ukrainian shelling of a school and kindergarten cemetery has killed and injured civilians. So far, no reaction from Kiev to that. And in the Russian-held port city of Mariupol, nearly 50 civilians, including several children, have managed to leave a besieged steel plant. Ukrainian soldiers and hundreds of civilians remain holed up there. Earlier evacuation efforts have all failed. The U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has paid an unannounced visit to Kiev, where she met with President Volodymyr Zelensky. During the meeting, she vowed that the U.S. would stand by Ukraine until the end of the war with Russia.
We believe that we are visiting you to say thank you for your fight for freedom, that we are on a frontier of freedom, and that your fight is a fight for everyone. And so our commitment is to be there for you until the fight is done.
Zelensky, for his part, thanked the U.S. and its Congress for, in his own words, the powerful signal of support. Pelosi was being accompanied by several lawmakers on her trip. That came after last weekend's visit by the U.S. Secretaries of State and Defense to Ukraine. Later in a statement, Pelosi said Russian President Vladimir Putin's, quote, diabolic invasion had taken a devastating human toll on Ukrainians. She also pledged imminent additional American support for Ukraine. The U.S. alone has already provided $3 billion in aid, and in a major increase of such funding, President Biden has called on Congress to provide another $33 billion in mostly military assistance. But Moscow has warned that the aid would only fuel the conflict and raise the risk of direct confrontation between Russia and NATO. In a retaliatory move, Moscow has warned that it may seize the Russian-based assets of countries it considers hostile. The Speaker of Russia's lower house of parliament says the proceeds from the sales of these assets will be used for the country's development. He accused some countries of violating international law and resorting to pure theft. He particularly named Lithuania, Latvia, Poland, and even the United States. U.S. President Joe Biden has proposed that Russian oligarchs seize assets or sold off and the proceeds to be paid to Ukraine. The proposal is part of the U.S. policies to ratchet up economic pressure on Russia over the Ukraine war. Biden also said that the U.S. has set a dangerous precedent which could backfire. The Israeli military has stepped up its security crackdown in the occupied West Bank after a guard outside the settlement of Ariel was shot dead on Friday. The military says that it has conducted new search operations in Palestinian villages. Israeli forces also raided the home village of the suspects behind the incident. The military says both have been arrested. Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, the armed wing of the Fatah faction, has claimed responsibility for the shooting. The group says the attack was in response to Israeli violations in Al-Quds that injured 300 Palestinians in over 2 weeks. The regime forces also killed a Palestinian in an operation they claim was linked to the hunt for these attackers. We talked to our correspondent in Ramallah, Muna Kentel, who gave us more details about the latest developments.
Also, Israeli authorities decided to impose a closure starting from Tuesday until Friday. This means that this closure would be taking place on the checkpoints and let's say border crossings, like what the Israelis say, between the occupied West Bank and Israel, the lands that were occupied in 1948, as well as the border crossings between the Gaza Strip and Israel. Palestinians, anyway, are not allowed to enter the land occupied in 1948 or Al-Quds unless they have a special Israeli issued permit. Now they or are prohibited from entering, even if they have these Israeli issued permit.
Workers and activists worldwide have held rallies to mark May Day in Turkey. Police clashed with protesters as they were trying to reach Istanbul's iconic Taksim Square. Over 160 people were arrested in Istanbul. The Turkish protesters were angry at raging inflation in their country. That was 61% last month. That is the highest there in 20 years. In France, security forces fired tear gas to disperse demonstrators in Paris. Several arrests were reportedly made. The protesters slammed the French government's economic policies and expressed anger at rising unemployment in the country. The demonstrators called for better working conditions and higher wages. In Cuba, people also turned out in their thousands to mark May Day. Similar rallies took place in Italy and Greece, too. French President Emmanuel Macron's first term was defined by yellow vests, which will go the same for the second. The anti-government group spent Saturdays marching as usual, knowing that Macron will soon begin 5 more years in office. Ramin Mazahedi has more.
For the first time since the presidential election, the yellow vests marched around the country, and most expressed disbelief that Emmanuel Macron was re-elected despite his unprecedented repression of the group.
Frankly, we really don't understand how Macron could be re-elected. We started over purchasing power, and it's worse than ever. I guess people need a knife to their throats to come protest anymore?
They were met by a huge police presence, armed to the teeth. The government continues to intimidate yellow vests, but also the average person from rejoining the demonstrations. Intimidating deterrence is also being used to keep journalists from covering the group. In the yellow vest demonstration the day before the first round of voting, a journalist from a top French media was fined for allegedly illegally demonstrating while simply reporting on the yellow vests.
We'll never stop demanding for citizens' referendums, purchasing power, decent pensions, and the ability to have some money left at the end of the month. After the legislative elections in June and the summer vacation, social unrest will explode this fall.
Thousands of devoted yellow vests will continue to turn out every Saturday in Paris alone, and they say others will put their yellow vests back on when they see Macron's plans for his second term.
Emmanuel Macron will continue to be the president of the rich and will continue to march. People will eventually recover their good sense and realize the only way to change politics is to join us in the streets.
Nobody expected the yellow vests to stop marching, Now we'll see if they can last for the next 5 years. Global May Day protests will see establishment forces, such as unions and political parties, march nationwide in favor of workers' rights, but also to express major dissatisfaction with the presidential election. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
An explosion targeting a mosque in the Afghan capital Kabul killed at least 50 worshippers 2 days ago. Now the Daesh terrorist group says its operatives were behind the bloodshed. The attack drew many condemnations, including one from the UN that said attacks against civilians are prohibited under international humanitarian law. Also on Saturday, a car bomb explosion in Kabul left one person dead and three others wounded. Several back-to-back terrorist attacks in recent weeks have raised security fears on the eve of Eid al-Fitr, a religious occasion that is celebrated at the end of the Muslim fasting month of Ramadan. Iran's capital, Tehran, has hosted the longest iftar table. The event offered free Ramadan dinner to thousands of people, mostly from the less privileged parts of the society. Yusuf Jalali reports.
Iftar table stretches for 5 kilometers. Organized by Tehran's Grand Bazaar, the event served iftar to over 5,000 people, mostly low-income families. Organizers say it is the longest iftar spread ever hosted in the world.
I'm honored to have the chance to host my fellow citizens for an iftar dinner. The Grand Bazaar of Tehran started this initiative with the aim of helping the less privileged. Throughout the year, we launch many charity initiatives, but its climax is in Ramadan, because it is the month of kindness.
This is the second time Tehran's Grand Bazaar hosts such a large-scale iftar meal as a charity gesture. The benefactors who contributed to the event say Ramadan is a time to push the limits on humanity and put a smile on the faces of the needy.
It's so beautiful when you see the rich and the poor sit around the same iftar spread and break their Ramadan fast. I'm so happy to be a part of this, and I hope such humanitarian gestures will be promoted to hopefully root out poverty.
Every year in Ramadan, charity works get supercharged, with Muslims trying to pitch in to have a say in helping the poor, as they believe Ramadan is not just about abstention from eating and drinking, but it's a time for sharing love and kindness with fellow human beings.
With all its beautiful celebrations like this large iftar party, Ramadan is about to come to an end. But organizers say what's important is to learn the lessons of Ramadan on the beauty of kindness and togetherness, which if practiced, the world would be a better place to live. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
And a funeral procession has been held for veteran Iranian movie producer and director Nader Talibzadeh, who passed away at the age of 69 2 days ago. A huge crowd of mourners attended the funeral service in Tehran on Sunday. Talibzadeh is known for his award-winning documentaries and TV productions. He wrote and hosted the talk show dubbed The Secret for Press TV. Talibzadeh was also the secretary of the International New Horizon Conference, an annual event serving as a platform for criticizing the U.S. and Israeli policies that led him being blacklisted and sanctioned by Washington. Talibzadeh died of heart disease complications on the 29th of April. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has reiterated that his country could preemptively use nuclear weapons to counter hostile forces. He says that is aimed at maintaining the superiority of North Korean armed forces. Kim's remarks follow rising tensions between Pyongyang and Seoul, especially after South Korea's defense minister touted preemptive strike capabilities against the North.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has once again stated that Pyongyang could preemptively use its nuclear weapons if threatened. In a meeting with the top military brass, Kim expressed a firm will to continue developing his nuclear-armed military so that it could preemptively and thoroughly contain and frustrate all dangerous attempts and threatening moves, including ever-escalating nuclear threats from hostile forces if necessary. His comments come as he praised his top military officials over the staging of a massive military parade in the capital Pyongyang last Monday. The parade marked the 90th anniversary of the founding of the Korean People's Revolutionary Army. It also featured the country's latest intercontinental ballistic missiles. On that occasion, too, Kim vowed to accelerate the development of North Korea's nuclear arsenal.
The basic mission of our nuclear force is to deter war, but our nuclear weapons cannot be bound to only one mission. If any force attempts to usurp the fundamental interests of our country, our nuclear force will have no choice but to carry out its second mission unexpectedly.
The country has progressed its nuclear and missile program despite international pressure over the past years. North Korea has conducted 13 rounds of weapons launches in 2022 alone, including its first full-range test of an intercontinental ballistic missile since 2017. In addition, satellite imagery has shown signs of activity at a nuclear testing site. Pyongyang has been reeling under crippling international sanctions over its nuclear weapons and ballistic missile development activities, which it maintains are designed to deter potential aggression by the US and its allies, including South Korea, who frequently hold joint military drills and weapon tests on the Korean Peninsula. Meanwhile, South Korea says Pyongyang's military tests escalate tensions and worsen ties between the two neighbors, but Pyongyang says its tests are in response to mounting tensions on the Korean Peninsula, triggered by joint military exercises between Seoul and Washington. The United States also stations about 28,500 troops in the south. The latest developments come as South Korea prepares for an incoming president, Yoon Suk-yeol, who takes a more hawkish approach to Pyongyang and has not ruled out a preemptive strike if necessary, vowing to strengthen the South's defense in conjunction with the alliance with the United States.
That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam and warm greetings to you, dear listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, May 1st, 2022. I'm Atef Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio broadcast. Or if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And in advance, I congratulate all our listeners, especially our Muslim listeners, on Eid al-Fitr, which marks the end of the blessed month of Ramadan. Congratulations. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an eQSL card from us, an electronic QSL card from us. So here I appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Najmuddin from India, Roni Hussein from Bangladesh, and Heikki Puran from Finland. Najmuddin, Roni, and Heikki, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And here I do appreciate those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us emails from around the world, including an email from Chris Jensen from Belgium, Igor Belevich from Belarus, one of our old and regular listeners, Mohammad Khaku from the US, one of our regular listeners, and Pekka Lito Poja from Finland. I wish I'm correct in pronouncing in your name, Pekka. Please keep us company. Until the end of the program, I will be back with these great emails. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I'm here to read your great emails. So, first of all, Chris Jensen from Belgium has sent us an email. Chris Jensen says, Al-Quds Day is a very important day For me, as this day represents two highly important symbolic issues, Al-Quds regarded from its religious angle and Al-Quds regarded from its political angle. Al-Quds is historically a unique place for humanity because its significance for the three monotheistic Abrahamic religions, including Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. This holy place of worship where the entire humanity adhering to one of the monotheistic religions meets each other in full solidarity and unity has for years been desecrated by the brutal occupying Zionist expansionist political movement, which has no place in true Judaism. It would be a grave mistake to regard Zionism as a representative of true Judaism. The Zionist occupation of the land of Palestine with Al-Quds at his heart makes the place also a symbol for everyone in each corner of the world who is resisting injustice and imperialism. The struggle for Al-Quds is the struggle for freedom, justice, and sincere religious values for every peace-loving human being in the world, regardless of time and place. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Chris Jansen from Belgium, and many thanks for sending us this email regarding the issue of Al-Quds. As you know, Friday, April 29th, marked the World Quds Day, and we saw many rallies and marches supporting the Palestinian cause and against the occupying Zionist regime throughout the Islamic Republic of Iran and around the world. On Friday, April 29th, Iranian people in more than 900 cities and towns participated in rallies on, World Quds Day, supporting Palestine and the oppressed Palestinian people, and also against the brutalities of the Zionist regime, the fake regime of Israel. And we saw these rallies around the world. Some of them were held on Saturday and Sunday because these 2 days are holiday in European countries and, of course, in the United States. As you said, the holy place of worship, the Al-Quds, where the entire humanity adhering to one of the monotheistic religions meet each other in full solidarity and unity, has for years been desecrated by the brutal occupying Zionist expansionist political movement, which actually has no place in true Judaism. Chris Jansen from Belgium, many thanks for sending us this email regarding the World Quds Day. It was great. Thank you, and it was great that you considered the global issues, especially the Palestinian cause, which is one of the important and I think the most important issue in the world. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation, Chris Jansen. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs and, of course, the global developments. And Igor Blevich from Belarus, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Igor says, I do not know if it is possible to broadcast from Iran to Belarus on medium wave in a daytime, but if it is possible, please broadcast in English and Russian to Belarus. Simply at a daytime, it is more suitable to listen than in the late evening. I want to sleep at late evening and cannot often listen then. Try to understand my situation. Igor Blevich from Belarus, salam and warm greetings to you from Iran, from Tehran, and from IRIB English Radio. Thank you for sending us this email. So this is an idea. This is an opinion. So you can't, listen to IRIB English Radio and this program, as you said, late evening. My colleagues, of course, will think about it and will speculate, and then we will tell you if there is a time suitable to listen for you, of course. Igor Belevich from Belarus. Anyway, thank you for telling us your opinion about this situation. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon, Igor. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. So after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Stay with me. Welcome back. Mohammad Khaku, one of our old and regular listeners from the U.S., has sent us an email regarding the World Quds Day and the issue of Palestine. Mohammad says, in my opinion, about a million messages and emails have to be sent to newspapers and mass media around the world to highlight the occupation of Palestine. I participate in Quds rallies so that I can say I tried to inform Muslim Ummah of the atrocities of the Zionist regime in Palestine. Attending such rallies, writing letters to editors and imams, delivering sermons on last Friday of Ramadan, scare the reactionary pro-Israel Arab rulers and the Western Zionist masters. Al-Quds is at the very heart of Islam and the Muslim Ummah. Its status at any given time reflects the general health of the entire body of the Muslims. Muslims are like one body. If one limb hurts, then the whole body hurts. And so does the Muslim Ummah feel the pain with injustice. Ramadan must be seen primarily as the month of a struggle and jihad. It becomes incumbent upon all Muslims to share the pain and suffering just like one body in the face of injustices. Well, salam and warm greetings from Iran to you, Mohammad Khaku from the U.S., and many thanks. Please accept our, gratitudes and appreciations for sending us this email regarding the issue of World Quds Day and the issue of Palestine. As you said, Al-Quds is at the very heart of Islam and Muslim Ummah. Its status at any given time reflects the general health of the entire body of Muslims. So we, in the media, everybody in the world, whether in the US, in Europe, in Arab countries, in Iran, in the West Asia region, in the North America, North Africa region, in every part of the world, should care about the Palestinian cause, because it's not just a Muslim issue, because it's a human issue. As you said, because these innocent people, these defenseless people are being hurt by the Western Zionist, as you said, pro-Israel Arab rulers. They are hurt by these people, by the atrocities that these pro-Israel Arab rulers and the Western Zionist masters and the rulers of the fake regime of Israel perpetuate against these innocent people, these defenseless people. So everybody should care. It's not just a Muslim issue. Everybody should care about Palestine. So, Mohammad Khaku from the U.S., it's great that you participate in World Quds Day rallies. And, of course, you have participated. On Friday, April 29th, you participated in the rallies. And, of course, you again participate in such rallies in support of Palestine and against the fake regime of Israel. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Thank you very much again for sending this email. Please write to us soon and tell us your opinion about IRB English radio programs and, of course, your opinion about world developments. After a short break, I will be back with an email from Finland from Pekka Litopoja. So welcome back. Pekka from Finland has sent us an email. Pekka says, dear friends at IRAB English Radio, I listened to your program a few days ago here in Kuvola in southern Finland. Reception of your program was quite good. I would be very happy if you could verify that. I have heard right, and this signal was originally from your station transmitter. I'm 66 years old and have had this hobby since I was 12 years old. Now I am retired and I have started again this hobby. I have these reception confirmations from 60 countries now. I have never collected any from your country, but I hope that it will be possible to have one of your radio. I wish you all the best and hope that your transmission will be heard even further than Finland. With best regards. Salam and warm greetings to you, Pekka from Finland. Thank you very much for sending us this email. It seems that you are a new listener from Finland. That's great. So, Pekka, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Thank you very much for sending us this email. We hope that this mutual relationship continue. So stay our listener and tell us your views about IRAB English Radio programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best, Pekka. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So again, in advance, I congratulate all our listeners, especially our Muslim listeners, on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr, which marks the end of the blessed month of Ramadan. Congratulations, everybody. So here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with your radio, IRAB English Radio. Keep in touch with your program, Listeners Special. Have a good time. God bless you all.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I begin by thanking Allah for giving us this opportunity to be His guests in this blessed month of Ramadan, to partake in the banquet of Allah. I begin by first off reminding myself, as I remind each and every one of you, to have the consciousness of Allah, to have the taqwa of Allah. This is what this month is all about, brothers and sisters, is attaining the taqwa, the closeness, the proximity, the pleasure of Allah through engaging in the acts of worship that we have been going over for these last, almost 1 month now. You know, one of the things that obviously we need to reflect upon, and this is, you know, what we even learn in the corporate world, is that when you finish a project, you know, you have your team lead, your project manager, you have your budget, you have your what the charter is. At the end of the project, we tend to do like a lessons learned. You know, we do a summary and a conclusion of what happened. Where did we do good? Where did we fall? Where did we fall short of ideals, of the goal? And I think in Ramadan, brothers and sisters, personally, at an individual basis, we need to also recognize that this is a month of gaining from the spiritual regiment that we were in. And we should ask ourselves, did we meet the quotas or the targets that we set for ourselves? Some may have set the target to read a page a day of the Quran. They can't do more. Did you reach 30 pages in Ramadan? Some maybe committed themselves to 5 pages a day. Did you read the 150 pages that you promised yourself in Ramadan? Some may have been more, of a challenge, pushing their soul to the limit, and may have said, I'm going to read a juz a day, or even let's say a surah a day. Did you reach your goal of 30 surahs? Or did you reach your goal of 30 juz of the Quran? Whatever the case may be, whether it be your plan to read a number of salat or du'as or Quran or give in charity or whatever the case may be, each and every one of us has our own goals in life we have to set. We shouldn't look at other people. Everybody is on a different path to God. They're at different levels of the journey. But we ask ourselves, I ask myself, did I meet the goals and the targets that I had set for myself? I may have set, for example, again, what I just mentioned about recitation of Quran. Did I meet it? If not, I need to look back and say, well, where did I fall short of the goal? Did I spend too much time maybe on television or video games? Or, you know, maybe I was so busy at work because of the season that we're in, I couldn't take off, you know, I couldn't get away or I couldn't focus. Whatever the case may be, again, we all know our own lives and why, where we excel and where we need to have a bit more push and drive. But we ask ourselves, that what did I gain from this month, the spiritual regimen of fasting, of praying extra prayers, of reading Quran, of reading du'as, of attending lectures virtually for most of us? Some of us may have had the luxury of live lectures depending where we're at. But this is the question that we ask ourselves. And we should always be reassessing our lives. You know, that's one of the qualities of a believer, is that every night before they go to bed even, they do muhasaba. They do a accounting of their souls. You know, we're very accustomed to accounting in our books, in our balances, in our investment portfolio. But we should also be at the same time doing an analysis, a deep dive of our soul. Every night, the hadith tell us. Traditions tell us that, you know, we're not a follower of a prophet and his family, peace be upon him, if we do not do an account of our nafs every day. And so we have to ask ourselves, where did we go in this month of Ramadan? How far did we progress on the spiritual regimen, the spiritual ladder that we may have set for ourselves? And obviously, you know, it's never too late. And so even if we have still, if we find that we haven't met our goal, our target, we can do whatever we can do. And always, you know, let me just mention this, that I'm not only talking about the quantity of worship. God, as he says in the Quran, you know, for example, he says in Surah Al-Mulk, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. He talks about the fact that, you know, glorified be he, be him who has the entire dominion in his power, and he has power over everything. And then he says that it is he who has created you to see which of you is best in actions. Ahsanu amalan. Not aktharu amalan. Not a quantitative worship. It is a qualitative. So although I say we have that 100 hours or so, and I'm not talking about let's speed read the Quran till the end or pray, you know, 500 rakat of salat every day. No, it's about the quantity. But because we have that time frame, we try and make the most of that quantity. Even one page of the Quran, one surah of the Quran with reflection, with contemplation, with proper reading through it could be our key to salvation. One tasbih, one saying of Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayhi 100 times could be the key to our salvation, could be the key to felicity. We don't know, because only Allah can judge the intention and the and what is done from the heart. And so, again, as I just move on, I don't want to dwell on this, but we should do our best in these last days and nights to try and make a more concerted effort to get to the end in a best way possible. Whereas still, for example, Dua Josh al-Kabir that can be recited, it's not mustahab, let's say, to recite it on, you know, the Layali al-Qadr, the nights of power. It's mustahab on the first night of Ramadan, but it's also recommended to recite it at least 3 times in Ramadan, if I'm not mistaken, from the books of our scholars, what they have mentioned. So we still have that opportunity to read that beautiful dua of 1,000 names of Allah and to make the most of these beautiful nights. And as you can see from www.duas.org, you'll find all of the duas, or not all of them, but you'll find a good collection of duas that we can use with Arabic and English online, and the MP3s to follow along if you're not able to recite the Arabic. And make use of this great resource, brothers and sisters. And so I remind you, brothers and sisters, on this last day of Ramadan, a great day of blessing, of barakah, to give in charity, to give in sadaqah, please go online to your jamaat or your national, international organizations or any other organization that you trust with your money and contribute whatever you can. It's Ramadan. You know, other groups are raising money to give Eid gifts to children. Your children today may have everything that they want and then some, but there are Shia Ithnashidi children in India who won't have a happy Eid. Brighten their day by giving a couple of dollars or whatever you can donate in the way of the cause of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Not only in India, other parts of the world as well. So let me conclude with that point, brothers and sisters, and that message. And again, I ask Allah to accept our acts of worship in this month of Ramadan. I ask Allah to forgive us our sins, to accept our acts of worship, to accept all the du'as that we made in the Layali al-Qadr. I sincerely ask Allah to allow this COVID-19 to subside. We ask Allah to forgive us our sins, to keep us all on the path of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib. Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka دوما قريب ليتك دوما قريب
Hey.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of the speech delivered on April 12, 2022 by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the government officials of the Islamic Republic. The Holy Quran shows us the path to confront the enemy, patience and piety. Later on, I will expand on the meaning of piety in these cases. Therefore, we are confident that the promise of Quran is a true promise. There is no shred of doubt about it, but if you are constant and do right, not the least harm will their cunning do to you. That is, their tricks will not affect you in any way and will not push you back. This is a divine promise. First of all, what does patience mean, but if you are constant and right? It means not becoming tired. In many Farsi translations, patience has been defined as resistance and steadfastness. This is correct. It means not becoming tired, even if they refer to it as tolerance. It means not becoming tired. This is what patience means. Not becoming tired. The same is true of patience in praying and in the face of sins. Some sins are attractive and they pull us towards them, but we show resistance. This resistance might make us tired and one might give up. This is a dangerous poison.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Patience means not becoming tired. It holds true for sins and for confronting the enemy. This is what patience means. It means not fleeing the arena. This is patience. What does piety mean? It means taking complete care of oneself. Piety means